Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome in to CHGO Bulls postgame. Coming to you live from our studios here in West Loop, downtown Chicago. I am Peck, joined by my guy, Will the Go Golly, Will underscore Golly. Our pal producer on the controls, Joey Spathis. He is at Joey Spathis. Welcome in. Hope everybody is enjoying their Friday. Despite that game we just watched, the Bulls fall to the Brooklyn Nets in Brooklyn, 125-108, getting swept in the regular season series. And wow. Throw us your thoughts, your comments about tonight's game, Bulls Nation. We'll get to as many as we can. Thanks for hanging out with us live on YouTube tonight. Hit the like button if you are around. Throw us a super chat if you feel so inclined. Will, we mentioned in pregame that the Bulls, in their second of their first two losses against this Brooklyn team, surrendered a season-high 25 made threes.
Not just a season-high, an all-time franchise record high.
There's that, too. Threes. And tonight, we were like, hey, this Nets team is shorthanded. They're, you know, circling the drain. They're not going to surpass Atlanta for a play-in appearance. They're playing out the final strings. And they hit 25 threes against the Bulls again tonight. There's your story.
Yeah.
Math. Same script played out. The math did not math.
Same math problem that they've had for a while. Bulls, 9 of 30 from 3. Nets, 25 of 44. That is a 16 three-pointer differential.
That is 48-point differential.
That is a 48-point differential when it comes to points from behind the arc. And honestly, like, it got kind of out of hand late, but like the Bulls were keeping it competitive for the vast majority of this game. And in large part, it was due to all the free throws that they had and the two-point percentage. On non-three-point attempts, they were, 29 of what is 75 minus 30 of 45.
So well over 50%.
Well over 60%. Whereas the Nets were only 47% from the field, but 57% on threes. And then the free throws, obviously, DeRozan was in his bag. He had 10 free throw attempts, helping the Bulls get to almost 29 on the night. And that's been the Bulls' recipe to keeping it close. That's what they try to do. They try to get offensive rebounds, although they got beaten up pretty bad on the glass tonight. They try to get to the free throw line and they try to make as many 2-point shots as they can. But when you're playing against a team that's going to score 20 plus threes, it's just not going to work. And when you hit 25, you have zero chance of winning.
Yeah. I mean, the margin for error on top of the math problem that's plagued this team for going on three seasons now, in the first half, it was the Bulls letting the Nets get easy second chance opportunities, right? You mentioned the glass. The Nets had 12 offensive rebounds to the Bulls 5 tonight. That's usually a point where the Bulls are trying to get an advantage over their opponent on a nightly basis. And then in the third quarter, they had started to close that gap of limiting the Nets second chance points. But while the Nets were getting hot in the third quarter from behind the 3-point line, the Bulls in that quarter had 6 turnovers. So it was like, okay, you're not cleaning up the glass, and then you're not taking care of the basketball. These are simple things that the Bulls cannot afford to do poorly. And then on top of that, you really can't afford to not clean up the glass or to have a sloppy quarter with lots of turnovers when your opponent starts just barraging you with threes.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the turnovers. Like, 12 is not terrible. I'm looking right now. They average 12, and they're the third best team in the league when it comes to taking care of the basketball. The problem is they didn't turn over the Nets at all. They only had 6 turnovers. So those are the margins that you're playing in. You mentioned it. Like, You have to, if you're going to lose the 3-point battle by 48 points, you have to dominate the free throws. You have to dominate the offensive glass. You have to dominate the possession battle, which is the turnovers. And if you don't do any of those things, or if you don't do all of those things, it's just going to be really, really difficult to win. We've had this conversation a million times. Like, it's not new, but there's no real solutions on the roster to like really change the style of play. I mean, Kobe, I thought, tried to get some threes up, but he looked pretty hesitant for the most part to me. Only 6 of 16 from the field for 18 points. To me, like, this whole thing was like very much the DeMar show. And I don't mean that disparagingly. Like, DeMar was fantastic. He kept the Bulls alive, but it just goes to show how much of the offense that he is responsible to carry. And when he's not scoring 50 points or 45 points, and he only gives you 30, which is incredible.
Right, exactly.
You're going to lose these games.
You know, between his mid-range game and his drives to the bucket, you know, when you take out his two misses from behind the arc tonight, DeMar from the field, a fairly efficient 11 of 18.
Incredibly efficient.
And then 9 of 10 from the line, as you mentioned. Like, that's DeMar giving you what you can get from DeMar, other than the occasional night, you know, their second most recent win against the Pacers, where that was a night where he dropped 46 and did heroic DeMar things. But, I mean, 31, you can't ask much more from DeMar than that. And I'm, you know, yes, it stinks. We talked about it in pregame that Kobe has been kind of cold shooting coming back from the hip injury, and that continued tonight. 6 of 16, as you mentioned, 3 of 9 from downtown. Like, I'll take that. It's better than the 28% that he was shooting behind the arc in his 4-game sample size leading into tonight since coming back from that injury. You also like the fact that, as he has been doing in these games where he hasn't been shooting well, Kobe still was dishing. He had 9 assists tonight, limited himself to 2 turnovers. That's fine. But again, even when DeMar gives you 31, Kobe can dish out 9 assists on a night where he's not shooting all that well. But, you know, you still get double figures from 4 of your 5 starters. It's the math problem. It is just simply the math problem.
And, you know, I would say that it's like a talent problem too. But when any team gets hot like this, the way the Nets did, and like, I mean, it's like lightning striking twice in the same spot. Like, this is just kind of insane that they would hit 25 threes twice against the Bulls in the same season.
Wild.
But like, I just feel like when you are, regardless of what the talent gap is, and I think the Bulls are a more talented team than what we saw from Brooklyn tonight, it's just so hard to overcome that. And I just don't know how they can keep going into transaction periods and thinking that they're right there when this just keeps happening.
And that's the thing, you know, you say lightning striking twice and the unlikelihood of Brooklyn doing this to the Bulls twice in two seasons, or twice in the span of one season, in the span of 3 games. But the Bulls, we have known,
back-to-back games.
Like, all season long, the Bulls have been a team that gives up good looks from behind the arc to their opponents. They give up a high volume of good looks from three, either wide open or open shots, based on the definitions of cleaning the glass,
right?
Or whatever it is, you know, X and Y amount of feet, the nearest defender. We have known that that has been a weakness of this Bulls team defensively all season long. So it's not actually as surprising as lightning striking twice, because we know that the Bulls give up good looks from three all season. Maybe it's a bit more unlikely that it happened to you with Dennis Schroeder being like insanely hot. He was 1 of 2 Nets to go 7 of 11 from deep. That's not something you expect to see every night, but this is the Bulls defense that we've been watching.
Yeah. And, you know, I think when you're playing against a team, like, I don't want to compare the Nets to the Celtics on a talent level. That's like, obviously not the comparison I'm drawing here, but in terms of their ability to generate shots from the perimeter without having to drive and kick, I think that's the kind of team that can exploit you. Like, the Bulls want to take away the paint, so they load up on it and try to prevent those kickouts. But when you're just isolating and stepping back and hitting threes, the Bulls, like, what works about the Bulls defense isn't applied in that scenario. And so now you're just playing one-on-one. They were hunting Vooch with, you know, Cam Thomas, who was hot. Dennis Schroeder was just doing his thing. Like, you just had all these guys that just found fire on the same night. And I mean, at a certain point, like, it's not like they were getting super broken down and like not getting out to closeouts. I think that happened quite a bit, but I think also just the Nets made incredibly tough shots. I mean, everything Cam Thomas did was just an insanely tough bucket. That's what Cam Thomas does.
Yeah,
same with Schroeder, same with Mikal Bridges, got hot in the second half. And the crazy thing was, they were only 1 of 7 on threes in the second quarter. So 24 of these came in just three quarters. I mean, this is just an incredible shooting night that I would love to say is just never going to happen again, except for it's already happened twice in back-to-back games against the Nets.
What, in the third quarter, what did they finish in the third quarter? 9 of 13 from downtown or something crazy like that?
9 of 13 in the third quarter.
Just bonkers. And it's, again, it's the same problem over and over again. Jelly in the comments saying it really does come down to the math at this point. They don't have enough gas in the tank to overcome these deficits. To say they are depleted is an understatement. And that's the other thing that Jelly brought up there, is that once again tonight the Bulls were scrapping and playing from behind because they came out flat. And it was, you know, that, what, 24-12, I think, at one point in the first quarter. They just dug themselves a 12-point hole. And then because the Nets aren't a great team, the Bulls came all the way back from that and had themselves a 5-point lead at halftime. Because you mentioned that the Nets went cold in that second quarter and the Bulls got themselves back in it. But you expend the energy to get back into a game where you dig a hole, and then you just watch your opponent just rain fire down on you in the second half. Gabriel in the comments said, I love how the recurring three-point differential teams have on us. This is continuity. Yeah, that's one way of acknowledging continuity. It's very consistent with this Bulls team. Benjamin saying, we better be throwing many a hat tonight. Hey, there you go. Ooh, almost took out the light. Ooh, there we go. This is a frustrating night because we've seen this script play out so many freaking times. Brian saying the Bulls should throw the towel. This team is done. Andres 22 saying, man, I miss watching Tibbs era Bulls. Those teams never quit. Well, I've got good news for you if you are feeling nostalgic for Tibbs, because in the Bulls' 8 remaining games, they play the Knicks 3 times. So we're going to see plenty of Tibbs. Plenty of Tibbs in his squad down the stretch of this regular season schedule. Tease Vids saying it's been years since the Bulls have had a solid stretch of games that haven't been worth talking about since Lonzo went down. Some of what you said I agree with. Also, I would feel fairly sheepish if I agree with your take that they haven't been worth talking about since Lonzo went down, because that was 2.5 years ago. What the hell have we been doing with our lives? I feel the sentiment, though. I feel the sentiment. But, you know, you talk about a solid stretch of games. How about starting their West Coast road trip a couple weeks ago 3-0? That was like a legitimately solid stretch, mini stretch, of games. But since that 3-0 start to their road trip, I think they now have dropped they've lost 6 of their last 8 since that.
Is that right? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, 4-6 in their last 10.
They got the win over the Pacers. They got 2 wins over the Pacers in quick succession.
Dating back to their first game, I guess the second game against the Clippers.
Yeah.
So they lost that game. Then they won against Washington, Portland, and then lost to Houston, lost to Boston, lost to Washington, win against Indy, and then
lost this against Brooklyn. To Brooklyn.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and... 4-7 in their last 11 games.
Yeah. Not ideal, which is why they, after this loss tonight, sit 35-39. Sometimes 2, sometimes 4, always 3. Tonight it's 4. And the Hawks were idle tonight. We mentioned in pregame that they got a second big win over the Celtics the other night, and with them being idle and the Bulls taking this L, the Bulls now have just a half-game lead on the Hawks for 9th and home court in the first play-in game, as opposed to slipping to 10th and having to play that play-in game on the road in Atlanta.
Yeah,
we mentioned in pregame that they have a very important now. It was already important, but now after taking this loss to this Brooklyn team, it just adds more weight to that matchup on Monday night against Atlanta.
Absolutely. They have the half game up on them now. We'll see what happens they're in Minnesota next.
They play the T-Wolves on Sunday.
So who knows what would happen then, but that game, if the Bulls enter it tied, they have the tiebreaker against the Hawks, so the Hawks would need to jump them in the standings. So that's going to be a game that's basically worth 2.
Whew, my goodness. Let's take our first break right there. We'll come back, get to more of y'all's thoughts out in Bulls Nation about tonight's loss. Whatever else is on your mind, let us know in the comments and we will talk about it. What an ugly start to our weekend. My goodness. 25 made threes again? What the hell? Where are we? Is this? I don't know what universe we're living in, but it's disgusting. While we are sharing these words from our sponsors, you know what to do, Bulls Nation. Hit that like button if you're hanging out with us on YouTube. It helps us out a lot. We really appreciate it. Do it for our friend Troll Joey. He wants your thumbs. He needs your thumbs. Will the GOAT reading some ads in post-game, y'all. What do we got first?
I'm just wondering if anybody, whether it's you, Matt, or Joey, or anybody in the comments is in the market for a new vehicle, because if you are, we have some great news for you. Our partner, Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Fox Lake, is celebrating the Jeep Celebration event all month long. And you know what that means? You'll be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory. For a limited time, lease a 2024 new Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for $439 a month for 39 months. If that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for 39 months. At Ray CDJR, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to the Ray Price Promise. Don't miss out. Shop great deals all month long and save big, because Ray CDJR makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. But that's not all. Just for listening, you can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center.
Heyo!
Or mention CHGO when you book online at RayCDJR/service. But you have to schedule before April 1st. That's like 2 days from now. So if you're interested in a new vehicle, look no further than our friends at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, because they are the only team we recommend. Visit them on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit Ray CDJR in Fox Lake or RayCDJR.com, serving the community since 1963.
Woo! Find Jelly in the comments said that he wants to hear you yell, Ray! The way that Big Dave does.
I don't know.
How's that?
I don't want to. I got to let Dave keep his things, you know?
Right. I've been doing some game time reads while Dave's been out, which are always Dave's, right? Those he always Dave's. Does the game times. And I'm not doing the killer deals phrase the way that Dave does, because I can't do it. That's Dave's thing.
It hurts my throat too much.
Right?
I always leave the show and I'm like, I need a cough drop. I'm always yelling.
Yeah, just, you know.
Even though I sound yourself, so quiet, I'm trying.
Keep yourself hydrated. Keep that throat nice and lubricated. You know what never hurts your throat? Making some fun picks on Prize Picks. Making some money on Prize Picks. Doesn't hurt your throat. Just puts money in your pocket. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, y'all. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other DFS players, some of whom are nerds who make it their entire life, pros, sharks, Mikhail Bridges, Dennis Schroeder, you just pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 different player stat projections on any game you want to watch that day, that night, and watch the winnings roll in. And right now, man, we are on the way to the Elite Eight. We still got a couple of games, some 9 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. tip-offs in this second slate of Elite Eight game, or Sweet 16 games going on. We saw Purdue advance. We saw NC State get a big upset over Marquette. Shout out Joe. He was happy about that one. And with all of this tourney action, all of this March Madness action, you got to be making some picks on Prize Picks. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with the NBA, the NHL, and yes, of course, this college basketball action. Right now, today, on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com/CHGO. Use promo code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO with promo code CHGO for that first deposit match. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks. You have any rooting interest left? I know you're not like as nearly as big of a college hoops guy as an NBA guy, obviously, but anybody that's still left in the field that you want to see win?
Not personally. I'm just rooting for Joey's team. What's your game that you're doing?
Well, Texas is out.
No, not your team.
Thank you. I am currently rooting for Purdue,
Creighton,
NC State, and Alabama.
And Alabama.
So
those are my teams.
Yep, those are our teams here. Thank you.
Thank you for informing me of my teams.
Thank you. You're welcome.
You want to explain the game that you're doing?
No, we're just doing a little player pool. You pick 8 guys. It's a draft, and you are scored based on their cumulative amount of points throughout the tournament. So you
the longer balance, the more you accumulate.
Yeah, you got to balance how far you think they're going to go. You got to take a couple guys from lower seeded teams. And so, yeah, it's good fun though. I'd recommend it. It's a good like switch up from the bracket. Bracket gets old, you know.
Sometimes all we have is our fantasy teams, you know. Yeah.
Truly, like right now as Bulls fans.
not specifying anything, just saying.
Jason Ashland in the comments, ever the optimists saying, I truly have nothing left. Unless the Bulls go on a solid run, I've given up. Oh, no. Well, hey, always talking about trying to get them back to 500, Jason Ashland. After tonight's loss, the Bulls just need to finish, what, 6-2 down the stretch?
6-2 for 500.
6-2!
Is that right?
Yeah. They got to go 6-2 to get back to 500.
I guess that would make sense. They are currently
4 games under.
35 and 39 with 8 games to go.
Oh, my goodness. Juan Miller saying, you know things are bad when listening to the ads is more interesting than talking about Billy D. Well, speaking of Billy D, I also saw a couple other people had comments about his rotation tonight. Rig Ski Man saying, Batum's confidence is gone. One missed shot, and Billy has been pulling him. Meanwhile, Brian and Danny in the comments saying, double big lineup gave us wins. We have struggled since we went away from it. Win is the best stat. Keon Johnson saying the love affair between Billy and Vooch is like Diddy and Meek Mills. I am not hip enough to get the reference, but I take it that you mean Billy really liked playing Vooch. What did you make of Billy's rotation tonight, Will? I know you made a comment to me about how Bulls fans love Javonte and they're happy to see him back on this 10-day contract, and he's coming off a game Wednesday where he played really well. But when he did not see the court in the first quarter of this game, Bulls fans, and I'll admit myself a little bit too, was like, hey, where's Javonte? Give me Javonte. Because he threw Torrey Craig, Drummond, and Batum out there off his bench before we saw Javonte. Javonte then did start the second quarter and played another 16 or 17 or so minutes off the bench tonight. We also saw a lot of Dalen Terry tonight. What did you make of Billy's rotation?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've said this before, but I just think he's kind of scrambling to find the right player at the right time for the right game. And some days he's going to need Javonte out there because Torrey Craig got 3 fouls and they need somebody to guard Pascal Siakam. Some days he's going to need some more spacing out there, and so he's going to go with Batum. But there's also nights where he goes with Batum first and then Batum misses 2 shots and goes -9 in 3 minutes. Whew. And it's hard to go back to him. Same thing for Dalen Terry and Torrey Craig. Dalen, I thought, had some nice minutes. He had 19, you know, was productive for the most part, 2 of 4, missed two threes, but had a couple of nice rebounds, defended well. He ended up playing the most minutes off the bench, but Javonte was right behind him in non-Drummond, like non-center minutes.
Right, yeah.
So he ended up playing 15 minutes plus 2. He outplayed Torrey Craig. He outplayed Batum. He outplayed Terry Taylor, who came in just for garbage time. So he's going out there. Javon Carter didn't even touch the floor tonight. I think he's just like, he's constantly searching for the right combination of guys. Like you, and that's why you see DeRozan at 37 minutes. It's why you see Kobe at 39, Caruso with 33, even though he got hurt and left
the game. He left the game, went to the locker room again tonight.
Light game for DeSumo, who only played 32 minutes. I mean, I think he just trusts like 4 guys, and he's just trying to find the right people. And I think there's probably pros and cons in his mind for each of these guys. And some of it is just going to be like in the moment, trying to figure something out. Sometimes he needs energy. Sometimes he needs shooting. Sometimes he needs size. Sometimes he needs speed. It's just hard to say on any given night. And I think also part of it is when you go out there, how do you look? Are you playing comfortably? Are you messing up your assignments? Are you shooting the ball well? I think in terms of the Javonte minutes, like he's probably relying, I'm just guessing here, he's probably not looking to rely so much on him because the contract is going to end in two more days after tonight. It's just not a long-term solution.
Right.
And I think he probably is trying to find longer-term solutions. But he also recognizes that Javonte was playing really well. He impacted the game with his energy, with his athleticism. He came in and got a steal and a run-out dunk. He hit a 3. So I thought he played well. Like, I don't want to discredit Javonte. I think he's probably, in a vacuum, one of the better players of that bunch, if not the best. But it's just a tough situation with his contract, with the fact that they just brought up Batum, and like 2 weeks ago is everybody freaking out about why Batum isn't playing.
Right.
And now he's like back out of the rotation and nobody's saying anything.
Right.
So I just think it's always kind of like chasing the last performance.
Yeah.
But you don't get the production from that last performance. You only get what's out there today and what's out there tomorrow. And so he's searching.
I think that makes sense. John Mayer in the comments saying, I'm happy to see Javonte healthy again. I thought we ended him last year. He's definitely got his bounce back. Bounce back for sure. Because that when he poked his hand in that passing lane when Brooklyn was trying to set up that half-court set and he just took it coast to coast for that flush. I mean, that was Javonte
tops. He had one in the Pacers game where he took off and looked like he was not going to get over the rim.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys could see that.
I remember the one you're talking about. And you know,
and today was very much Javonte's bounces back.
He had hops. you mentioned the minutes from Daylen. Colin saying Daylen's starting to look like a real NBA player more and more each game. He played the most minutes of anybody off the bench tonight. And, on a night when the Bulls just get absolutely blown out behind the three-point line, everyone other than DeMar in the starting lineup was either a minus 18 or worse. Javonte was a plus 2. Drummond was a plus 7. Daylen Terry was a plus 12 off the bench. And, I mean, I watched him shoot a couple of really ugly threes tonight, which is nothing new. But, and you know, I think you and I have been a bit more hesitant to try and find belief in Daylen being a useful NBA player now, like a real rotation player now, compared to our boy Big Dave, who has, I think, held a larger belief in Daylen having a role like that than we have thus far. It's interesting to see that maybe Billy is starting to, and maybe it's matchup dependent some nights, but Billy's starting to actually gain some level of trust in Daylen.
I think the other thing too is, I mean, you look at the way they started the game, they were down 24-12. They just came out so flat. And the Nets got off to a really nice start. I think part of it was the offensive rebounding. I mean, Vooch, in like his first 8 minutes, they got 8 second chance points on 5 offensive rebounds.
True.
They were just flat. And so I think when you come in and you bring in a guy like Daylen, who's got a lot of energy, who can kind of spark some stuff, that is a bit contagious, I think. It kind of helps the team get up and down. And obviously the Bulls kind of took off in the second and third quarter. So I think, look, I'm not here to say like Daylen's not a player, because I really do like a lot of the skills that he has. I just feel like the jump shot can be limiting at times. You see the way that the Bulls struggle to create offense around the perimeter from anybody not named DeRozan. Yeah. And it's just like, it's hard to justify having a complete non-shooter, non-scoring threat out there when you've also got, you know, a true big in Drummond or Vooch or both. You know, it's just like the floor is already so cramped and you need to have so much shot creation from the perimeter to overcome that. And he's not really giving you either. So I really like what I see from Daylen in terms of his defense, activity, rebounding, passing, transition game. Like there's a lot there, but again, it's just about unlocking with the jump shot and unlocking with the lineups around him. You have to put him into the right ecosystem. Otherwise, he's just going to end up doing what we saw in Summer League, which was trying to like drive straight into a brick wall because there's right. just no other options out there.
Yeah. Jelly adding, I really do love how visibly pissed opponents get when Daylen is all over them. Big part of it reminds me of the worm playing defense. Always in favor of getting a worm callback or comparison of any kind. Definitely Daylen has a little bit of that worm, you know, feistiness on the court too.
Worminess?
Yeah, well, worminess. Which I also have enjoyed that people pointing that out recently when some dumb Bears fans have a problem with Caleb Williams having painted fingernails or like a pink phone case for stupid, you know, fake macho, weird, you know, phobia reasons. And they're like, wait, but we all fully embraced Dennis Rodman in the late 90s when a lot of this stuff was way more, you know, under the rug, ignored, shunned, tabooed. And it was just like tattoos, piercings, guy cross-dressing. And we were all like, oh, can you grab 25 rebounds and be a lunatic on the floor? Great. We love you.
Yeah.
Why are people freaking out about Caleb Williams? I really don't understand.
I'm so excited for Caleb. I don't even know what to say.
Dude, come to the CHGO Bears draft party. Two nights. Back-to-back nights. Hanging out Joe's on Weed. RSVP. You can find it under the events section of our website, allchgo.com. Rick Skiman in the comments saying, when it's all said and done, the Bulls are a talented team that plays dumb. That's one way to look at it, an interesting way to look at it. I think I would flip that and say that the Bulls are a team lacking the right kinds of talent and playing away. And we kind of talked about this in pregame, especially with your GOAT 101 newsletter that dropped today, Will, about their post-up touches all season long and how they are continuously going to them despite their lack of efficiency. They're not a talented team that plays dumb. They're a poorly constructed team that plays the ways that they have to.
Yeah.
And depending on their opponents every night and what their opponents are doing, it works just barely or it doesn't.
Absolutely. I think I know Billy gets a lot of hate, and I'm not saying he's the best coach in the league. I'm not saying he's the top five best coaches in the league. I think he has gotten this team to outperform their talent, especially when you consider all the injuries. Like, he is doing a really good job. He's not a perfect coach. I don't think he's like an extremely creative tactician where he's drawing stuff up. I don't think he's necessarily super flexible with his like schemes that he's able to trot out there defensively. But I mean, look at the group that they have. I mean, there's just so many options. You can't like be a spread pick and roll team when you've got two bigs that are playing and can't shoot. You can't be a split action Warriors style offense when you don't have any perimeter shooters. You know, it just, everything defaults back to DeRozan in isolation in spread pick and roll or in the post, because he's the only one that can really take command of the offense. And again, I'm not trying to like disparage Kobe or Io. I thought both of those guys had some real nice moments, and obviously their growth this year has been great, but there's just only so much you can do when the skill set on your roster doesn't cater to a lot of different styles of play. It's hard to match a team shooting 45 threes in a game when you can't get up more than 30. So again, I'm not saying Billy is like a complete savant. I think he loves basketball. I think he understands basketball at a really high level, and I think he's a really good communicator, but I think he's also operating with a limited roster. And that's not to say that there's not talent on the roster, but like you said, I think it's a style thing. The ways that they can play, there's just fewer of them than other teams where you have more versatility out there. And that's why, you know, we were talking about, why would a team trade 4 first round picks for Mikal Bridges? Like that's kind of, he can play in so many different styles because he's a long, lanky defensive player who can create his own shot, who can shoot threes. You could see him fitting into any style of offense. You could see him running in those split actions. You could see him spacing the floor and spread pick and roll. You could see him running pick and roll himself. There's so much he can do, and he doesn't hurt you anywhere. Whereas the Bulls, like, they just kind of have to play this one style. And I think there's probably some room for some changes. I'm not really sure what those would be. But it just seems like he's doing the best that he can with what he has.
Indeed. Love this comment from Anthony Oderwald, who said, the Bulls haven't been 500 or above since October of 22. They were briefly 500 in October of 23. They were 2-2, right? 0-1, 1-1, 1-1, 2-2. Or 1-2, 2-2. But still, Anthony's comment, let that sink in. For God's sake, who cares if it's players or coaching or injuries? It's unacceptable, and it's a shame that Jerry and the front office don't give a shit. I saw somebody else in the comments earlier saying, like, I hope the Bulls fall out of the play-in. And as we acknowledged in pregame, that's not happening, because this Brooklyn team that beat them tonight is still 6 wins behind where the Bulls are, who are currently in 9th, half a game above Atlanta. I would be shocked if the Bulls fall.
They're not mathematically eliminated, but I mean, basically they would have to win out and the Bulls would have to lose out.
Exactly. And the odds of both of those things happening are infinitesimally small. So it's not going to happen. And I feel like this is the second time I've said this in the span of the last week's worth of postgame shows. Would I be tickled pink if they do fall and swap spots with Atlanta and then have to go play in Atlanta in the 10 seed instead of the Bulls getting a home play-in tournament game that we know would make certain people very happy with all of those, you know, turnstiles and all that ticket revenue and all the, you know, money that comes along with hosting a play-in game? Yeah, I would love to see that happen, because I personally don't think that they deserve it. We'll see. Again, just means all the more importance lies on that game against the Atlanta Hawks on Monday. Oh, shit. We've got to take an ad break. But on the other side of this ad break, we may or may not have a happy, wonderful surprise for y'all. Let's do that. Let's knock out a couple of ads real quick, and then we'll come back and finish up our thoughts on tonight's game and maybe say hi to somebody.
Big Dave is back. It's on Big the Dave set right now see. For the podcast listeners.
You can't see the camera, but it's Big Dave. He's back.
You want to come back and read some ads?
No, I don't. I'll be back soon, though. But hey, good to see you, man. Good to see you, man. I'm good, man. My brother, too, bro. It's my brother over there, bro.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, man.
Hey, what up, y'all?
Hi. I'm going to say hi. What up? Hey, real talk. I didn't even know the show was going on. My brother, we just happened to be around here, so we said hello. And I was like, man, let me show you where I work. And he just showed me where I work. And I was like, I think it's a Bulls game tonight. I have no idea who won.
Look at this please right here. This is the show we need every day.
Shut the fuck up. Are you serious? The Nets hit 25 threes?
25.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What the hell, bro? Oh,
hey, bro wanted me to ask you how often he wears his Sub-Zero hoodie.
Oh, hey, listen, my brother wears his Sub-Zero hoodie all the time. All the time. Listen, he got a CHGO joint on right now. He got a CHGO hoodie on right
now. He's got that camo hoodie
yes,
on.
Yes, man. All that. He is the most official human being when it comes to CHGO in my family. He is the one that he has all the clothing when it comes to that right now. Listen, I literally just got off a plane. I just came off a plane. I just got here. You know what I mean?
Welcome and back.
Thank you. Yeah. I had to take some time off. You know what I was dealing with. But I had to take some time off, and I didn't even know you guys were here because I had no idea the Bulls were playing because my brain has been completely off of the Bulls, bro.
You didn't know.
I had no clue the Bulls even had a game. I wasn't even thinking about the Bulls, bro. But
that must have been nice.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun. It was not bad, man. But, hey, I'm happy I'm here. I see y'all holding it down. It's all good. It's all love, man. I appreciate y'all so much, man.
Dude.
You know what I mean? Y'all know what I was dealing with, man.
Our fellow Bulls fans in the comments for the past week have been like, where's Dave? We miss Dave. Dave, okay. And we're like, yeah, man, we're good. He's good. He's just taking some time.
Trust me. He'll be back. I was dealing with, you know what I mean, a huge loss, you know, in my life. You know what I mean? I lost a huge part of my life. You know what I'm saying? So dealing with that, I appreciate y'all holding it down and respecting, you know what I mean, what I was doing, respecting my word for it and all that, man. But, yeah, I was dealing with that. And I take some time off to grieve, ladies and gentlemen. Take time off to grieve and deal with your grief. Don't ever go back straight to work. Take some time off. Deal with it. Focus. You know what I mean? Get your mind correct. That's what I had to do. I had to lead a country to do it. You know what I mean? So I left. I did it. No, I didn't go back to Paris. I didn't go back to Paris, man. But I definitely left.
Hanging with Easy at the One Ball Arena?
I definitely left, man. It was fun. It was cool. And, yeah, man, I just dealt with that, man. But, you know, God bless you all, bro. God bless you too, Alexander, my man. But, yeah, I just wanted to show my brother where I work because he never been here. You know what I mean? We were around here.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, bro, let me show you where I'm at.
Just pop in.
That's it. Yeah. Let's just show you where I'm at.
That's cool.
And I said, when we got up on the elevator, I was like, hey, I think they're doing a Bulls game. I didn't even think of it, bro. I was like, I think they're doing a Bulls game tonight.
All right, man.
So, yeah, I just showed up and say, hey.
And tonight, especially, you didn't miss anything because we're literally talking about a Bulls loss to the Nets where the Nets hit 25 threes, and that legit same thing happened back in November.
This is sad.
Time is a flat circle.
Nothing has changed. You want to hear some secret? Yes.
So, obviously, we have some loss, but we also have some new life.
What do you mean?
Marque, baby number two.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, yo. Man, congratulations, Marque.
Will and Marque did their last HQ episode yesterday afternoon. Okay. Yesterday afternoon Chicago time.
Okay.
And
6:30, 2 hours later.
Really?
I DM'd Mark later last night to say, hey, man, I'm sorry I couldn't pop into the HQ. I was at the Cubs event yesterday.
Yeah.
But just, you know, wanted to send love, wish you the best, love to the fam. And he said, thanks, man, appreciate that. I'm actually at the hospital right now. Like, baby number two is on the way.
That's crazy, dog.
Yeah, man.
What's the name? What's the name of the kid?
No name yet.
No name yet. No name for the child. Okay.
Well, I you got to assume it has to rhyme with Sea Red Ted, which is his first child. Oh, look at that.
Sea Red Meg? Oh, look at him. Ah, look at him. Look at him. Yo, that's dope. That's dope. That's so dope, man. That's so dope, man. Listen, I'm not going to stay here too long. I just honestly wanted to show my brother, you know, what we do here. I love y'all. I love you. I love you. I love you, Joey.
We miss you.
Thank y'all for holding me down. I will be back Sunday, ladies and gentlemen.
You coming Sunday?
Sunday, I will be here.
All right.
We'll do this for real. I will be here Sunday, man. I miss y'all so much, man. But I needed some time.
They miss you too, man.
I needed some time. Yo, bro, you know what I mean? All y'all take some time.
That's so love, bro.
Kobe knows what's what.
Joey, you fool.
It's all love. It's in the comments.
It's all love, man. I'm going to get all out love. Y'all way, man. But it was all great, right, to man. See y'all. Man,
I got to hug you again.
Oh, two times? God.
Yeah.
My man, I miss you so much. I'm good, man. Thank you, bro. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for everything. My man, it's great to see you, bro. Thank you, man. I appreciate you, bro. I really do. Y'all take care about you. My man.
All right, buddy. You give bro that good tour. Get your brother a beer from the fridge. Oh, man. All righty. Hey, there you go. Oh, man.
That was the uplifting thing that we needed.
My heart needed that for real, man.
For real.
Like, oh, that's just, you know, man. In case it wasn't obvious how much we miss having Big Dave around.
Seriously, I was watching that game. I think I even said it. Like, we just needed optimism and positivity.
Because I'm just like a cynical, you know, narcissist, and you're just a cynical non-narcissist, and we're both pretty sick of this team right now. The Dave energy has been sorely lacking.
In a big way. Should we get back to some ad reads?
Yeah, we should actually knock that out. I was just about to share with our fellow Bulls fans how much I enjoy Coors Light. Because
right there.
When life stresses me out, I reach for a Coors Light. When my Bulls, beloved Bulls, stress me out, I reach for a Coors Light. So I reach for them pretty often. Things can feel chaotic in your life. And that's why Coors helps you find moments to chill all year long. Baseball season is here. Opening day yesterday, great fun events for the Cubs and Sox crews. But I just love nothing better than sitting and taking in a baseball game at the ballpark.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just a nice frosty beer. Gosh, it's one of the best things in the world. I'm so looking forward to it. So when the mountains turn blue, whether it's these cool Coors Light cups that they sent us because they are super nice, or their bottles or their cans, bottles right here on the set, you know the beer inside is as cold as Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When it's time to chill, open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing, cold as the Rockies. That's why when it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart. That's right, beer delivery on Instacart. CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball is the site to go to. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
So imagine you're sitting on your couch. You're watching the Bulls or Cubs or whatever team you like.
Yep, yep.
You got a Coors Light in hand.
Yep, yep.
All of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, I need to get some new floors in my house.
Oh, always new thinking flooring. About that. Sunday. Floors, 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 no matter what, Dave.
And if you're looking for floors, look no further than Empire, because they've got you covered, where you can shop in the convenience of your own home for the right products for your needs with quick and professional installation. Oh, I love Dave.
Just listening to Dave cackling in the background as he makes his exit.
It just makes everything better.
Truly.
Empire is your one-stop shop for flooring. They want to provide the best and most efficient service. It's not the most affordable necessarily, but they will have the best experience working with you. They have the best new options, so of course they have copycats, but they can't be beaten on quality, service, or speed, so competitors will always advertise lower quality products that Empire simply would not carry. Empire is not going to promise the lowest prices because anybody who is promising those kind of prices is not putting that kind of flooring into their apartment. They have the philosophy of helping you find what you need without overwhelming you with thousands of choices and substitutes. What they leave in their selection is what they leave out of their selection is as important as what they put in. Empire's product team exhaustively combs through thousands of product samples each year to find the perfect styles, and you can check them out from the convenience of your own home by checking out their virtual floor designer. It's a great way to see what that floor will look like in your house. You just snap a picture and see what the floor will look like in your room.
Hey-o.
They also service their own warranties, so if you have any issue, you don't have to track down any manufacturer. You just call Empire, and they will help you out. So schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive $350 off when they use promo code CHGO. Restrictions apply.
Terms apply. Terms apply.
See Empire.com today. See EmpireToday.com/CHGO for details. You want to do the jingle, or you want to just move right on without it?
588-2300, Joe!
Empire!
Today.
And if you thought you wanted Dave back before I just read that ad, that'll really remind you.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, you don't like singing commercial jingles?
No, I'm inferior at ad reading
than Dave. That's irrelevant.
I'm just saying, if
don't people compare yourself to other people.
If people
Will.
Thought they missed Dave prior to me reading the ad, I hope that effort in an ad read reminded you how much you actually really do miss Dave. That's all.
Mm. Uncommon Vision said the Bulls didn't win, but Bulls fans just won by seeing Big Dave for 5 minutes. Yeah, that's true. Nuggsy Poke said, "Of course, Dave returns when I'm in the bathroom." Oh my goodness!
Fortunately, you can go back.
Colin, just the spice of Dave is enough to season up my soul. Somebody else mentioned, I think Anko, yeah, that the Bulls have been kind of sucking during Big Dave's extended absence here. But you heard the good news from the man himself. He'll be back with us for postgame on Sunday when the Bulls are taking on Minnesota. And speaking of which, I reminded myself when I was looking ahead, the Bulls scheduled the next few games, they got themselves a pretty dramatic and awesome and impressive win over the teetering between first and second seed in the West Minnesota Timberwolves.
That was the game that
Kobe went off. He had a big game, 30-something points, I think.
They came back from down big.
Yeah, huge comeback.
That was probably their best win of the season.
Right. So, you know, we've seen the Bulls lose to the Wizards this week and the Brooklyn Nets this week. So it would only make perfect sense to see them round out this week by somehow beating the T-Wolves again. Are they at home Sunday, or are they in Minnesota?
I believe they're in Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah. They already played them here, right?
Yeah, they did.
That game was here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, did we go to that game?
That was the takeover part two.
That was takeover, awesome comeback, late win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember. I was rolling my eyes because that was the last game
before either All-Star or before the trade deadline.
I think it was February 6th.
I think it was the last
game. I was looking at it earlier today. It was February 6th. So that would have been 2 days before the trade deadline. Yeah.
And it was just like the exact game that AK needed to.
Coupled with that and then the win, the real gritty win over the Grizzlies in Memphis.
But that was the night of.
Yeah, you're right. So that's why. So that was like, oh, well, yeah, we got to stand pat because we just beat the Timberwolves. Everything's fine. Everything's great. We're very competitive. Oh, my God. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, man. What are we doing here? Oh, my Lord.
This is really why we need Dave. He keeps us grounded.
I mean, what... do you think that we will see, speaking of, and we can kind of take a few thoughts to look ahead to that Sunday matchup and then wrap up, Billy did go with the double big lineup out of the gate in that game. He started Vooch and Drummond together to try to kind of counterbalance that monster lineup that the Minnesota Timberwolves have been throwing out there all season. And it's not just, you know, Gobert and Towns, but, you know, Jaden, they've just got size everywhere. Do you think that we see Billy do that again on Sunday?
I'm going to say doubtful, because the reason why he went to that was the Timberwolves had the Timberwolves had been playing Karl Towns and Rudy Gobert together.
Yeah.
They have been starting, it looks like, Naz Reid with Rudy Gobert
in Karl Towns
absence, but I just think that that was more of a function of necessity, and I don't know, maybe they'll go back to it because they're worried about Naz Reid's size. But he can really space the floor. Now you got to worry about, you know, coming off screens and stuff like that. And he's not like an incredible rebounding big. So I don't know. That'll be an interesting one. I have to go look back at some of the game logs from Timberwolves games and see what they've been going to. But that's kind of goes back to that thing we were talking about earlier, as far as like lineup flexibility and what are my options here from a coaching perspective, to just think about like what Billy can do to try to combat this team that's already won 50 games.
Yeah. Right. Will Javonte be still on that 10-day by Sunday?
So the first day was the 22nd. So I believe that will be his last game.
That'll be okay. And I noticed that KC made note of it in one of his sideline reports on the broadcast tonight, talking about he mentioned, you know, what we mentioned in pregame, that Julian Phillips still in a walking boot, according to Billy Donovan, right, when he met with the road beat before tonight's game. And that maybe if that is, in fact, what we were talking about, which is Julian Phillips being ruled out for the rest of the season, it would allow the Bulls, per league rules, to sign Javonte to a successive consecutive 10-day.
Absolutely. So the rule is, for these hardship exceptions, you have to have four players out.
Right.
They have to have missed three games, and they have to be out for at least 2 weeks. So obviously you've got Zach, Patrick, and Lonzo, who are out for the year. The other player being Julian Phillips. He obviously, as you said, got the update today, still in the walking boot. So if they give another timeline that would be longer than 2 weeks, you might see them extend a second 10-day contract to Javonte. Or if you don't hear anything about Julian, but they do still extend that second 10-day contract to Javonte, you know Julian's probably done for the year.
Right. Colin asking, is there any world in which Javonte can be eligible for the playoffs? I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. I think March 1st is the deadline for a team who signs a free agent for them to be eligible for the playoff roster.
That is how I understood it roster. As well.
So even if they extend him for another second 10-day contract, one, that wouldn't even go through the remainder of the season unless there was a break in between, and two, he would not be eligible to play based on that rule. So even if they, like, because I was thinking about this too, like, you know, what if they just waived Batum?
Yeah, that's what Colin asked. Can you just waive someone and sign him?
Would they have space? They could do that. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they would still be able to do that under the luxury tax with where they're at right now, but he would just not be eligible to play in the playoffs. So even if he was not on one of those hardship exception deals, that's why they ended up signing Batum when they did, because they felt like they were not going to get anybody on the buyout market.
Right.
And so that's when they used that final 15th roster spot.
Before we get out of here, Lebowski5 asked in the comments, where does Peck get all these sweet shirts? Well, thank you. But it's not just me. This is just one of our newest additions to the CSGO merch locker. It is our Sub-Zero shirt, also available in hoodie form. Big Dave has the hoodie. He's been rocking it a lot for the last month. You can get it, as our friend Jelly pointed out, and our guy Joey on the controls in the comments also pointed out, from the CSGO merch locker. Just go there. Boom. CSGOlocker.com. Get yourself the Sub-Zero tee and or the Sub-Zero hoodie, because Jelly's right. Fits great. Looks great. Super soft tees. This is one of my new favorites. Also, check out the new Chicago collection that we dropped back at the beginning of March to celebrate our second anniversary here at CHGO. There is even more new merch to celebrate the beginning of baseball season, which is, we got stuff for the north side and the south side. Then there's the Chicago collection as well. Wonderful stuff in the merch locker, as always. Thank you for tuning in, Bulls Nation. Weird game. Joey's happy about something. What are you happy about?
Just the Creighton game.
Creighton?
Yeah. You know.
Losing? Winning?
No, winning.
Yeah?
you know, happy about Creighton, happy about...
I don't believe that for a second.
You know, 6:30 start time, so we're out of here. The show's over before 10. Happy about that as well.
That's what I thought.
9:56 p.m. Thanks for that 6:30 tip-off, Brooklyn. Appreciate that. Reminder one more time, if you are a CHGO diehard, A, thank you, and B, go read the latest GOAT 101 newsletter that came out earlier today about the Bulls post-up offense that we discussed in pregame. If you aren't a diehard, now's your chance. Sign up, pick yourself a free shirt from that merch locker, and then get access to that great stuff that you're missing out on from the GOAT. Follow Will underscore Gottlieb. Shout out, much love, and thanks to our producer and our pal, the twin brother of Troll Joe, Joey Spathis. He is at Joey Spathis. I am Bulls underscore Peck. We are CHO underscore Bulls. We were just so overjoyed and honored to have a unannounced, unexpected cameo from the other member of our crew, Big Dave, tonight. He will be back with us on Sunday. And one more shout out of love and appreciation and all the best to our friend Mark K, who had him a nice sentimental farewell on HQ yesterday. And have loved chopping up with Mark. Don't worry, I will continuously bug him to make cameos as we move forward.
He'll be on here at some point.
Yeah. But more importantly, happy news in his family as he makes his exit from CHGO for now. So all good things. All good things. Everybody enjoy your weekend. We will talk to you on Sunday after Bulls Timberwolves. No pregame, but we will be here live for postgame. Until then, stay safe. Appreciate y'all. Hit the like, subscribe. See you everybody. Good.